Hi, and welcome to the Group X-Files. This is the podcast for demystifying the secrets of becoming a successful group exercise instructor. I'm your host, Sarah Keller, and I can't wait to share with you the two decades of experience I have and what that's taught me in terms of leading thriving and full group exercise classes. All right, today we're here to talk about motivation. We're going to look at what is driving the people within our classes to show up week after week. This is a very complex subject and maybe can't be tackled in 25 minutes, but we'll at least have a little bit more insight as to why people are showing up. All right, so let's start with, why are you here? Like, not in an existential way, right? That's way too deep for 25 minutes. But what made you seek out and launch this episode of this podcast? Maybe it was genuine curiosity, right? Maybe the title caught your attention. Maybe you just stumbled across it. Maybe you were looking to understand motivation better. Maybe it was assigned to you. Whatever the case is, right, there's something that motivated you to listen in. Dwight D. Eisenhower once said, motivation is the art of getting people to do what you want them to do because they want to do it. I mean, that sounds pretty amazing, right? In contrast, John Deere says that motivation is the driving force within an individual that impels them to pursue their goals. So ideally, we want both of these working in our favor when we're looking at teaching group exercise, right? We want them to do what we want them to do and to think that that was what they wanted to do anyways. But we also want them there of their own free will, right? That they have a goal that they're pursuing, and we want them to feel like they are there because they want to be there, which they are, right? They wouldn't show up if they didn't want to be there on some level. However, right, that whole idea of them doing what we want them to do and thinking that it was because they wanted to do it, that's a hugely intriguing way to look at this, right? Like, not tricking them necessarily into believing that the whole thing was their idea, but kind of that way, right? So here's the deal. Motivation, I mean, there have been dissertations and textbooks written in the psychology world, in the neuroscience world, etc., regarding motivation. So are we going to be able to tackle everything about motivation in 25 minutes? Not even close. Let's be honest. We're going to scratch the surface here. But let's think about, on the broadest level, motivation, especially when it comes to fitness, right? Two broad types of motivation. You have your intrinsic motivation and your extrinsic motivation. Intrinsic comes from within, something inside of you or something inside of your participant motivating the action. It could be that they love how they feel while they're moving or after they're moving. They could just enjoy whatever it is. Maybe they feel stronger, maybe they feel faster. Whatever it is, it's coming from within them. Extrinsic motivation is an external driver. So it could be a challenge or reward. It could be some sort of accountability. It could be pressure to achieve a certain outcome or to avoid a certain outcome. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. People generally succeed more when they have intrinsic motivation, when the impetus to act is coming from within. That is a much stronger compulsion to do something, and the likelihood of that something becoming more consistent and regular for them, much, much higher when it's intrinsic. That said, there are people who respond very, very well to an extrinsic motivation. I mean, I can tell you the club I work at, the members even joke about it. It's not even me joking about it or my instructors. But when we do challenges that offer them a free t-shirt at the end, they joke about it. They're like, man, you wouldn't believe what 40-year-olds would do for a free t-shirt, right? But it's true, whether it's our 12 days of fitness challenge that we do in December to keep them active through the holidays when people tend to fall off, or it could be a cycling challenge. We do a night rider challenge. We've got all sorts of challenges, and legitimately, they just get a t-shirt at the end. But sometimes that's all they need, that challenge. Number one, just can I complete the challenge? And the challenges are never impossible, right? 12 days of fitness, we do take 12 classes on 12 different days. But you could take the same class every day. You want to take bar all 12 of those classes? Go for it. You want to take cycle all 12, step, whatever. Aquatic fitness, great. But it's just getting them to come to the gym 12 different days in December when attendance tends to drop off closer to the holidays and the end of the year. But it's the challenge of, can I meet that? Or we did a cycle challenge all year long. Could they ride a certain number of miles every month? If it was 100 miles for us, could you ride 100 miles per month for the whole year? So some people like that little carrot hanging in front of them, that extrinsic motivation, right? They like to see a challenge and accomplish that challenge. They like to see a reward and earn that reward. But again, you know, sometimes that extrinsic motivation could be a little bit negative when it's a pressure to achieve an outcome, right? And that's certainly not coming from within. So we do have to be mindful of what's driving our people on the most basic level, right? This is all from basic psychology, right? Motivation, styles, etc. So when we get past the most broadness of the intrinsic versus extrinsic, right, then we've got different styles of motivation. Because we know, number one, everyone that's sitting in front of us in the studio or standing in front of us in the studio has shown up for a different reason. Something different has motivated probably almost every individual in front of us. So number one, that's a big challenge for us. How do we reach all of these people and motivate all these people when they all have different motivations to be there to begin with? How do we make sure we satisfy all of them? That's a tall task for us. So let's talk about those that are motivated by achievement. Okay. So those are our goal setters. They thrive on progress. So they are likely an extrinsic motivated type of people, right? Because if they're setting goals, right, they are working toward that goal. They are looking to find that achievement, that reward from succeeding. Now, it could be a goal that they set on their own. It might not be an actual challenge that the gym is running or anyone else is running. It could just be a goal they gave themselves, right? I want to feel better. I want to move better. I want to wake up in the morning and not wonder if my knee's going to lock up on me and I know I need to move more to do that. Could be as simple as that. But it also could be, you know, oh, I want to join the police force next year and I really need to be in better shape if I'm going to pass the physical requirements to join that or to join the military, whatever it happens to be. Or, you know what, I just saw my friend's kid run last week and I thought, well, shoot, I could do that, but I know I need to get in shape first. So I'm here to take class with you to get some baseline fitness. Then I'm going to go out and start running, whatever it happens to be. But that is our achievement motivated folks. They set goals. They thrive on the progress toward those goals. And a lot of times, if you know that, you can work with them to set SMART goals, right? We've all heard of SMART goals, but at the end of the day, if someone has never run in their life and they say, I'm going to run a marathon, that's great. But that goal is way down the road for them. That's not something they're doing in the next 3 to 4 weeks or 6 to 8 weeks, right? So there's got to be smaller goals along the way if someone is motivated by achievement, because they need to see that progress along the way, right? So maybe it's that they do their first 5K. And from there, maybe their first 5-miler, their first 10K, their first 10-miler. Right? So there are ways to kind of hit those achievements along the way and keep people going. Then there are those that are motivated socially. They just want to be around other people. The people matter almost as much as the workout does. And for those of us that are strictly in it for the workout, we're going, well, I could care less about the people that show up. I just need a really good workout. We don't understand that. But there is a huge chunk of people. That is why Group X is such an important piece of a lot of people's fitness journeys, is it provides them that social connection, right? They know that so-and-so and so-and-so are going to be there. So A, they can catch up before or after class, but B, that person is going to, for whatever reason, motivate them. Maybe it's just more fun to move with a friend. We all know that, right? You're more likely to work out if you've got a workout buddy. So maybe it's just knowing that you've got someone in it with you. Maybe it's that they're a little bit better than you and you're striving to, you know, you're aspiring to be more like them. Whatever it happens to be, but there's something socially going on there where the people are really more important than the workout to some people. There's incentive motivation, very similar to our achievement motivated folks. They like rewards. They like perks. They like recognition. They're those people in class that are waiting for that shout out. When they hit that huge tuck jump off the end of their burpee, they want you to notice, and they would love that acknowledgement. They would love the recognition, the reward, perks for anything. Right? So maybe making a challenge within your class, always a good idea there as well. Some people are motivated simply by growth, right? This is truly intrinsic. They love learning. They love expanding their abilities. And that's enough for them. Just each day, right? Progress is still progress, no matter how small. Those are our growth motivated people. They want to learn something when they show up. They want to feel like they are a little bit better at something by the time they're done. So they've expanded their abilities and they've learned a little something. And that's great for our growth motivated folks. You've got people that are motivated by their well-being, especially when we're looking at the gym, right? They're coming and they're showing up because fitness for them is about mental health. It's about their energy levels. It's about self-care. I mean, wouldn't it be great if all of our members were just motivated by growth and well-being? They were just there, eager to learn, eager to be a little bit better when they walked in the room, and just there to take care of themselves? I mean, at the end of the day, that's like the most amazing thing ever. Now, some of you are listening, you're going, no, it's not. I want to hit that 6-minute mile. That is the most amazing thing ever. Or I want to hit that 2-foot vertical jump or whatever it happens to be, right? Some of you are going, no, it's not about the feely feels inside of me. It's about hitting these benchmarks. And again, that's why we're having this discussion, because we are all motivated by so many different things. If you caught my earlier podcast about my why, right? I talked about that it was very personal to me why I'm in group fitness, and it dealt with my mother not taking care of herself and dying earlier than she needed to, et cetera, et cetera. And looking at the folks in front of me in a lot of my classes, it's people that are the age she would be, and they're there taking care of themselves. They're moving better. They're feeling better. They are able to then go out and do a hike or do whatever they want to do with their free time because they've looked out for their well-being and they've done something good for their mental health. Their energy levels are higher because they've come in, they've made those connections, they've had the physical workout, they've made some social connections. So they're hitting on all levels there. And again, this is why if we can just get people in the door to group fitness, why it's so easy to keep them coming back for more, because we have so much to offer them. There are so many ways to connect regardless of what motivated them to show up in the first place. I do want to talk about fear motivated, like fear avoidance motivation though, because this is kind of the flip side. These are the people that aren't necessarily showing up for a quote unquote good reason. They're more showing up because they want to avoid a negative outcome. What do I mean by that? Like, they want to avoid gaining weight. They want to avoid health issues. They want to avoid any worsening of some sort of condition they have. Maybe they've got a hip problem, a knee problem. So their mobility is reducing. So they want to avoid that getting worse. I bring this up solely because these people are a little bit harder to reach because they're not necessarily coming from a quote-unquote good place to show up. They're coming from, well, this is better than winding up with diabetes. This is better than winding up with a heart attack. This is better than my hip hurting so bad that I don't want to get out of bed in the morning. This is better than gaining 20 pounds. Okay, so we do want to watch our verbiage with these folks. And you might not know this about these folks, but maybe just knowing that these folks exist is enough, right? We don't want to accidentally trigger these negative thoughts for these folks that were showing up to avoid some sort of fear they have, right? I don't think many of us are doing it in good conscience in terms of, you know, affiliating the movement we're doing with specifically losing weight or with specifically avoiding a medical condition or so on and so forth. Generally, most of us are associating our cueing and our coaching and our motivating through positivity. But just keep in mind that these people do exist within your crowd that are maybe, you know, a little bit more sensitive to certain tactics we might be using within our motivation. So there are also those that aren't necessarily fear avoidance type of folks, but they may not fully enjoy exercise. So there are people that have kind of identified their motivation in a sense of they recognizing the value of exercise and they willingly choose it. So no one's, you know, got their arm bent around their back, shoving them in there. They are willingly choosing to exercise because they have identified and recognized the value of it, even if they don't find it particularly enjoyable. So these are the folks that it's really important to connect with and make a good personal connection with because, you know, telling them to drop closer to the ground or jump higher off the ground isn't going to motivate them. They're there because they know it's good for them and they're going to do the movement. But they may not be wholeheartedly committed to absolutely dying during the workout just to achieve something. Some clients are more motivated to act out of guilt or obligation, like they don't want to disappoint someone. Maybe they're training for something and they don't want to disappoint their coach. And regardless of the group fitness world or just an exercise in general, right? That's a huge one is, well, I'm doing this exercise because, you know if I don't, I'm not going to perform as well at my next competition and my coach is going to be really bummed out. You know, that we've been working really hard. So those we kind of refer to as like an interjected motivation. And again, they're not acting out of guilt. Like it's like, oh, I had a cheat meal last night, therefore I must do this today. No, it's more out of a sense of obligation or not wanting to disappoint someone else. Then there are those folks that kind of right alongside those growth and well-being folks that it's just an integrated motivation. It is at this point, exercise just aligns with their core values and their identity. Being active is just a part of who they are. You might hear some of those people say, I'm a miserable person if I don't get up and move. I am one of those people. I can tell you that right now. I don't need a specific type of movement. Some days I don't need to die on a spin bike or die on a run. Some days it's just I need to go in there and move my body to make myself feel better. But that's because movement is so deeply aligned with who I am and my core values. And then you definitely have some folks that have a sense of amotivation. They're not really motivated to do anything. It's generally connected to like feelings of depression or hopelessness, right? There's so much research coming out these days and the John W. Brick Mental Health Foundation is doing a great job of leading some of this research and getting it out there in terms of the connections between mental health and exercise and how much just getting up and moving, right? Even when you don't want to, get up and take a walk around the block. Number one, you're getting out in the fresh air, you're connecting with nature, you're getting a little sunshine if it's during the day. But number two, you're moving your body. If you don't want to get outside and go take that walk, stand up and do 10 squats, just something. Take a walk up and down the hall. So when you've got those folks that are just feeling a little bit hopeless, disconnected, disassociated, it's a really strong challenge for us to find a way to connect with these people and motivate them to come back into our studios. It's really interesting. So, right, I started this podcast episode asking, why are you here? And again, not talking about on an existential level, right? We're simply talking about, why'd you tune in today? What would happen if you asked that of your class? Maybe as a whole, if not individually, right? Like maybe you have a new member in class. Hey, I'm Sarah. You look like, you know, you're new. Like I haven't seen you in class before. Whatever your spiel is when you've got someone new. And then, hey, that's great. I'm so glad to have you. Blah, blah, blah. Here's what you need to get set up. You know, do you mind asking? What made you pop in here today? Like, it doesn't have to be presented as a, what motivates you to come in today? Why are you here today? Right? It doesn't have to sound intrusive. It can be very casual, but that could help give you some really good insight. You know, we've got those people that have been coming to our classes for years, and you know, this person comes because they're friends with so-and-so and they're going to go grab coffee afterwards and catch up. And this other person is coming because they just had a grandbaby and they want to be able to get up and on down off the floor and play with this grandbaby. And then you've got this other couple that never had kids but loves to travel and they go on these hikes and they go mountain climbing and they want to be able to continue doing that, right? So part of it comes down to knowing your members. We've talked about that in prior episodes, right? Get to know the folks in front of you. You can deliver the best class technically. You can put together the best playlist. You can do all of those things. But if you don't know your people, it's really hard to form true connections with them that outside of the workout make them want to keep coming back. Like, yeah, oh, so-and-so's class is great. I love their class. And that's enough on a certain level. But most of the time, they love that class because the content of the class is good and the context of the class is good, meaning that that instructor has taken the time to cultivate some relationships, whether it's directly one-on-one with them or just really getting to know the vibe of who's in the room and being able to adapt to that, right? If you're my drill sergeant type of our instructor archetype, and you've got someone in your studio whose motivation style doesn't quite suit drill sergeant, you've got to find a way to adapt to that drill sergeant to connect to that person and motivate them to keep on going. A, just to the end of that workout, right? Sometimes just getting someone through the class is a big challenge. And then the next bigger challenge is, how do I get them to come back again? Right? Obviously, inviting them back again, especially if they're new, finding them after class, asking how their experience went, inviting them back, you know, hope to see you next Wednesday. Whatever your kind of hook is to invite people back to class the next time, or not even ask them, just, you know, instead of being like, I hope to see you, just be like, I will see you next week. Or do you have any questions I can answer about the workout we did today? Something to let them know that you're invested in them. Because regardless of that motivation type that the person had, if they know you're invested in them, they're a little bit more motivated. Because at the end of the day, we're all humans. And no matter where we lie on the touchy-feely scale of life, we like to be seen and heard. And if someone's taking the time to acknowledge us, we're going to feel more motivated to return and have another experience with that individual. If it feels personal to us, if it feels very scripted and like this is the same thing that they say every time they walk in a studio, et cetera, and it's not because I'm here or this other person's here. This is just that, you know, they're like a robot, they're programmed to say it. It's harder to overcome that. So, right, we don't run our classes based on motivation type. It's not like we have a class for socially motivated folks and a class for incentive motivated folks. Like, we don't write our schedules that way, right? Just like if you're teaching a strength class, you very likely could have someone who's never picked up a dumbbell in their life and then someone who's been coming consistently for 4 years. So motivation types in terms of figuring out how do we handle a room full of different motivators is no different than dealing with people that are of different abilities in your class, right? So it's just connecting in different ways throughout class, finding more human connections, finding more challenge-driven connections, finding some education that you can pass on along the way for our growth-motivated folks. And then, like I said, just simply asking them, like, what brought you here today? You know, even if you ask the whole class that, maybe you ask them that at the opening of class. Maybe you revisit at the end and say, hey, did you get what you came for? I'd love to chat with you about that afterwards. That's a great segue into a post-class conversation with someone. They might feel a little bit more comfortable coming up and say, you know what? I really wasn't feeling like coming today and I almost bailed, but blah, blah, blah. I came because there's your why. There's your motivation. And this is how I feel now. And then that opens the door for you guys to have a really meaningful connection that's going to help drive their return to class the next time. And I know it's hard because some days we don't even feel motivated ourselves, but that is our job, right? At the end of the day, we've talked about this. It is our job. And we treat this job with the respect that we would treat any other job, whether we are teaching one class a week or whether we're teaching 15 classes a week. It is our job. People expect something of us when we show up in a professional capacity. And part of that is to motivate them and keep them motivated to keep coming back. As challenging as that might be, we are their motivators, and it is our challenge to make sure we are finding motivation that suits the different styles of the people that have shown up in front of us each time we step into the studio. If you enjoyed today's episode, heck, even if you didn't, go ahead and hit that subscribe button because we have plenty more group exercise instructor development content coming your way, and you want to get it while it's hot and fresh. See you next time on the Group X Files.